Turn lights all the way down. Yeah. What? Come on. So let it flow. Come on. Come on. Yeah. J-A-Y, I flow sick. Fuck all y'all haters, blow dick. I spit the game, throw bricks. Money, cash, hoes, money, cash, chicks. Sex, murder, and mayhem, romance for the street. Only wife for mine, it's a life of crime and sex. Life's a bitch in mini skirts and big checks. How can I not flirt with death? That's life's a nigga, long as life within us. We gon' send a lot and pray to Christ forgive us. Fuck it, ice the rest and raise the price on these niggas. Y'all can't floss on my level. I'll invite you all to get with us. If you ball, it's glitter. When I go on the Hall of Players wall, my picture. If you get close enough, you can read the scripture. It reads money, cash, hoes. I'm real with that nigga. What? Money, cash, hoes. 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 Money, cash,
hoes. Friends. We are back. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 13 of Tay's Tidbits. I'm your girl, Shantae, back for another conversation with my good people. I hope this message, or this, not message, episode, finds you guys well. I hope that in the absence between episodes 12 and 13, that you guys have been doing okay and that you walk away from this little show better than when you press play. Shout out to everyone listening for the first time. Shout out to everybody, you know, who maybe has missed a few episodes and catching up here. Always glad to have you, everybody in between. Thank you so much. Rest in peace, DMX.
Money, cash, DMX and my dog Spike. Jigga, my nigga, rhyme all night. Thugs for life, nice with this rap shit. Let them go, and I bet they know what'll happen when we clap shit. Acting like we owe them something, then we showed them something. Talking greasy, I think they found them down the road or something. Fucking with a madman in a bad mood. It's like fucking with a mad dog that wants mad food. And the only thing that's stopping him is you. And the only thing that he'll be dropping is you. Chop it in two, drop it the clue. And the response from the street, this is one dog that loves raw beef. But get back to just cause I love my niggas. I share blood for my niggas. Let a nigga holler, where my nigga? All I'ma hear is right here, my nigga.
Come on. Money, cash, hoes, money, cash, hoes. Money, cash, hoes, money, cash, hoes. Money, cash, hoes.
Again, rest in peace to the great DMX. I'm a music head. I think most of you guys probably know that. Incredibly passionate about music. Rough Riders was one of those groups for me growing up between Swiss and Eve and X. And, you know, they raised us. It was the music that we were privileged enough amongst others. You know, we had Bad Boy. We had So Def. We had No Limit. We had Rockefeller, obviously, but Rough Riders were just one of those with the motorcycle jackets, and it just takes me back to a time, and I'm super grateful that that was the era of music that I was brought up with. Did I say Bad Boy? Yeah. Shiny Suits, Puff. So, losing DMX was definitely not expected nor easy. So I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I hope that that pays a little bit of tribute and respect to him, because he did mean a lot to me as far as music and particularly rap music go. I realized that I typically, when presenting the episodes, try to focus on one topic, and I don't know that I want to reconstruct the podcast, but I do want to incorporate the idea of me speaking on a myriad of topics within one episode. So that's kind of where I'm at today. I have a few different things on my mind, and I don't want to box myself in. I feel like I've done that before, but I do know that most of the episodes are focused on one topic. And that's okay if that's where I'm at that particular day. That's not where I'm at today. I have about 4 different things on this list that I want to talk about. I'm going to get the heaviest of them out of the way first. I mean, not that it's super heavy, but it can be. A tweet inspired this topic. One of my Twitter friends, he tweeted to his followers something along the lines of, you know that depression is not just sadness. And it inspired me because I feel like mental health and depression and things like that are, you know, things that have become a lot less scary to discuss. So more people are comfortable talking about them, whether it's, you know, talking about their experiences with therapy or talking about social media or self-care, or, you know, those are just words that aren't off limits anymore. Whereas at one point, people would not even publicly say the word therapy. If it was something that they were willing to do, it definitely wasn't something that they were publicly sharing. It was more of a secret, if you will. It was between them, maybe the people closest to them, and their therapist. It was not something that they were going to be posting online for the world to know. So personally, I am happy that people are less ashamed, because there's honestly nothing to be ashamed of. We take care of our bodies. We take care of our teeth. We go to our dentist. If we have an issue with our feet, we go see our foot doctor. If we have something going on with our heart, God forbid, we go to the cardiologist. There is literally a doctor for every part of our body. And guess what? A therapist is a doctor for our brains. It's no different. None whatsoever, nothing to be ashamed of. So I think it's super dope that people are more comfortable discussing things like depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, you know, whatever it is that they are suffering with as it pertains to mental health. I love to see it, because anything that's, you know, discussed and things that are, you know, brought to light, it removes the stigma. So that makes me happy. So when he tweeted that about depression not just being sadness, initially when I read it, it was one of those things where not me personally, having suffered with depression, I understand, but someone else might look at it and be like, well, duh. But when I thought about it, I thought about my experiences when I was going through and how people responded to it. And I realized that that tweet was pertinent because lots of people do not know that. So I just wanted to talk about that. And I just wanted to talk about depression and the everyday person and talk about why it is so important for us to just to be good to each other, man, like to show up for each other, to support each other. Things that I've said on prior episodes, but it's what I believe, and it's how I attempt to live my life to the best of my ability. And it's what I want to share with you guys. There may be someone in your life who's depressed and is not crying every moment of every day. For me, it showed up mostly in the lack of concern and care for myself. I did not want to do anything. Everything felt like a task, whether it was combing my hair, folding my laundry, sweeping my floor, taking the trash out. Everything felt like it was the hardest thing to do. And the depressed brain will tell you that it doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't matter. Who cares if you get out of the bed and take a shower and change your clothes? Nobody cares. Nobody's calling you. Nobody's coming to see you. Nobody is concerned with what you're doing. So you may as well just lay here in the pajamas that you've had on for 2 days, because it really does not matter to anyone. So that's kind of where I was. It was it doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't make a difference. Why would I? It won't affect anybody one way or the other. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who has had thoughts like that is depressed. Again, I am not a therapist. This podcast is not to diagnose anyone, nor is it a replacement for therapy. I've said that before and I will say it again. I will not misuse this platform and I will not be irresponsible. I am here sharing my stories. That's it. I'm telling you what I went through and what I experienced and what I know to be facts and truth based on my life. If you can relate, I am so very happy to hear that. However, I had to go talk to a licensed professional to figure these things out. So I don't want you to WebMD this podcast and call yourself one thing or the other as a result of what you hear on this show. Again, I know that there are things that people listen to and that they can relate to, but I don't want someone to think, oh, that's me, I'm depressed. Please don't do that to yourself. If you do feel like you are depressed, and I mean this very seriously, please reach out to someone. There are hotlines. I will post one in the description for this episode. Please, 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 if you feel like you want to hurt yourself, if you're having thoughts of just not wanting to go on, because sometimes it's not I want to die. Sometimes it's just I don't want to live like this anymore. I just want this pain to end. So I've been there. I understand. Please seek the help that you need. I appreciate you listening to this show. I appreciate you supporting me. I just don't want to be irresponsible in that way. So, again, I experienced a lot of not giving a fuck and not so much crying. I would have moments of sadness, but the overarching theme for my depression was just the lack of care for myself. Some people, they stop eating and they lose weight. For me, it's the opposite. I eat more and I gain weight because it is just a who the fuck is looking at you anyway type of thing. Nobody cares. Nobody sees you. You feel very invisible and alone is what I experienced. So when I read a tweet that says depression is not just sadness, I know what that looks like. I know what that feels like. If you have people in your life who seem to just not really care, maybe like me, they're just experiencing depression in that way, and that's how it's showing up for them. The people who I know who suffer with depression, I've found that I can best support them by not allowing themselves to isolate, because that is what it tends to want you to do, is to just separate yourself from people. So if I know personally someone who is out of their mouth told me that they suffer with depression, I do my best to be there for them. Text them, call them, you know, just show up for them if I can, and just let them know that no matter what, they're not alone. So I do also get that is a very sensitive topic, and it's not an easy thing to support, right? Because people may let you in enough to tell you that, which is brave with in and of itself, but they sometimes, when you are suffering with depression, you don't know how to be supported. You don't know how to allow people to come in and to help. So I get that as well. The greatest thing for me has been that the people who care about me pay attention, and I'm super blessed that people can pick up on cues and pick up on things that allow them to maybe reach out, or, you know, lend a little bit more support, or just avail themselves in a way that's like, hey, just so you know, if you need someone to talk to, I'm here. Sometimes that's all people need, is to know that someone is there for them. Don't assume that if someone is not in a corner crying that they're not suffering with depression, because there are people who get up and they go to work every day smiling, laughing. They can be the most happy, joyous people, and they suffer with this shit. So that was where I wanted to start. What's going on with you guys? Did you guys see my post that this show has spanned 6 countries? Man. Well, if you did not see my post, let me find it so that I can read off these 6 countries. You guys are so dope. Again, thank you so much for supporting this show. I appreciate you guys so much, and I appreciate that this show is growing, and that it's reaching people that I don't know and that don't know me. So I'm going to do my best to stay mindful of the fact that I am maybe talking to a newer audience. So if it feels like I am backtracking or I am touching on things that I've spoken on before, it's just in an effort to honor the worldwide platform, baby. Respect it. So the United States, the United Kingdom, Germany, Russia, Canada, and Ireland. Shout out to the listeners in Ireland, the listeners in the United Kingdom. You guys are super, super dope for rocking with this show. I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. So that brings me to my next topic. I don't know what inspired this one. Something inspired this one. It was a conversation. I believe that experience is the best teacher. That's what drives this podcast. This podcast is driven by life experiences, mainly mine, but sometimes I can draw from the people close to me and their experiences and what they've shared with me and how it's taught or blessed me. So I know that I was having a conversation with someone, probably Marianne, but we were talking about something and I thought about how important readiness is. You know, we hear timing is everything, and it really is. But for me, I wanted to talk about someone or something, I guess, in your life showing up and you not being ready for it. There were plenty of things, plenty of information, I should say, that came to me in my life that was right, that was accurate, that was good, but because I was not in a space to receive it, it fell on deaf ears. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I feel like there are certain things that have happened over and over, like lessons that have come back around multiple times, and I think it's because there are things that are not going to shift or change for us until we are ready. So there's that, and then there's understanding that when interacting with other people, with people in your life, if any of you are like me, like to think I might be a little bit of an alien, but if any of you are like me, you've been in positions where you have tried to get someone to see things from your point of view. You've attempted to get someone to see things your way. You've attempted to control a situation by forcing your opinions, morals, values, what have you, onto another person, and you stand in a place of confusion because you're like, why doesn't this person get it? Well, there's a couple different things that could be going on. Number one, how we feel is how we feel. It's not, you know, necessarily the way other people feel, or nor do they have to conform to our ways of thinking. Can people agree to disagree? Absolutely. Most people, if not all, see things and life through their own perspective, their own experiences, their own lens. So if they are not willing to hear you or see things from your perspective or listen to what it is that you're saying, it may just be because they are seeing the world through their own lens. Number one. Number two, there are things that we offer that people are simply not ready for. And if that is the case, you can find yourself frustrated by saying the same things over and over and over again. A human being is not going to change until they are ready to change. So sometimes what you're saying is right and the timing is not. I know that many of us have experienced that, where we've gone through things in life, or whether it was like a job or a friendship or a relationship or something that just felt so right that didn't work. And then maybe in hindsight, we were able to look back and be like, it just was not the right time. Was not the right time. I know that there were so many things that I wanted in earlier years of my life that I thought that I was ready for, that I am so glad that I did not get, because I was not ready for them. Timing is really, really important. It is really, really important. I do believe that things happen the way that they are supposed to happen. And sometimes when we miss out, or when we feel as though we've missed out on something, it's really a blessing in disguise, because we possibly may not have been able or ready to handle it. And if we trust that timing works the way that it's supposed to work, and that we get things, and that our lives happen and unfold and develop and grow and we change and evolve the way that we're supposed to, then we can relax a little bit in the attempt to control outcomes and people. You can tell, and you will know, if a person is ready to receive something by the way that they respond to your help or conversation. I, being a natural helper, I've accepted that role about myself. I did not always think that that was who I am, but I now realize that it is who I am. And for me to be that naturally, I tend to do whatever I can to help the people that I care about. What I've realized is that I cannot waste my time. So if someone is not ready, I will typically shift into, well, what do you think should happen type of mode? Or how do you feel like, blah, blah, blah? Because that'll tell me everything I need to know about where a person is in their life. And that's okay. It's okay if they're not ready. It's okay. But what I'm not going to do is beat a dead horse. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. So if there is, you know, a situation of maybe a dead end relationship, I don't know. I can't judge what's dead and what's not. I don't know. But whatever. So let's just say she says, this is that, it's not working, blah, blah, blah. If she's not ready to leave, then maybe the conversation is, well, you know, how can I support you? What do you think needs to happen? You know, versus, girl, you just stop wasting your time and you need to leave him. Yeah, if she's not ready, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So I'm learning. And what I've learned is that people typically have the answers. Adults typically know what it is that they want to do or what they need to do. Most of the time, they're just looking for support. They're just looking for an ear, or if they are looking for advice, you know, as a friend, I can give it. It doesn't mean that the person's going to or has to take it. I have to be okay with that. I am okay with that. Readiness, timing is everything. It is everything. Things are not going to change until they're supposed to change. And a lot of times, because things haven't changed for a person, it doesn't mean that they lack the information. They're just not ready. And that's okay. On to the next topic. You tell me how you guys like this. Honestly, tell me how you like this flow of me jumping from topic to topic, versus doing one show kind of on one topic. I feel like these things can flow into each other, but it is different. It is different. I feel like the flow is different. The cadence is different since I'm, you know, going from one thing to the next. But to the point of timing and readiness, I want to talk about empathy. Empathy is one of those things that I don't want to say I don't think about it too much. I feel like when things come naturally for people, they're harder to not understand. What am I trying to say? It is harder to relate to people who are not naturally empathetic. That's what I'm trying to say. I am an empath. It's who I am. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to make myself consider other people. I just naturally do. But I do know that lots of people are not like that. And that's okay. So I think people hear empathy and they hear sympathy, and some people don't know the difference. So empathy means experiencing someone else's feelings. It comes from the German word feeling into. It requires an emotional component of really feeling what the other person is feeling. Sympathy, on the other hand, means understanding someone else's suffering. So for me, the way I view empathy is taking a moment or a pause to consider what you would feel like if you were in someone else's position or someone else's shoes, to be cliche. I think that most human beings, again, because we see things through our own perspectives, don't always consider how other people feel. It is selfish, obviously, but we are human and we are all naturally self-serving. It's not, you know, a good or a bad thing. It just is what it is. We're humans. So I think the idea of adopting empathy, if at all possible, is beneficial, especially in, you know, relationships, with the way that we relate to other people. Because if we're able to say, you know, well, I wonder how I would feel if that thing happened to me, instead of just judging, well, they're this and she's stupid or he's this or that. It's a pause in the knee-jerk reaction and a second thought of, well, you know, I can see how someone would feel like that going through that thing, or I can see how you can, how you would react like that. I validate that your feelings, that they matter. Even if I don't, that may have not been my initial feeling or response. Empathy requires a level of vulnerability that a lot of people are not comfortable with. I'm just going to say that. It requires that we admit to ourselves that we too are flawed. We too have imperfections, and that we too experience emotions that are not always ideal. If there is something that has happened to someone else that you may have never ever have experienced in your own life, you can still be empathetic toward the person. You can still show empathy. I don't do well with people who lack empathy, because I am hardwired to consider other people, and I can literally feel other people's emotions and energy. People who lack empathy are typically uncomfortable around me. I just have to be honest. I think it's one thing to understand empathy and to practice it, and it's another thing to be an empath. I don't think those things are the same. You can be a person who understands empathy and who practices it and not be an empath. I am an empath. My spirit picks up on things in other people's spirit. It's been like this since I was a really, really small child. So it's hard for me to be around energy and personalities and things that are just don't feel right. I can feel it. So, you know, I'll never be the person that somebody can give tea and tell it's coffee. You'll never be able to piss down my back and tell me it's raining. I'm too intuitive and I'm too in touch for that. It's a gift and a curse, honestly. But it is what it is, and I know who I am and I know how I am, so I just protect myself accordingly.
So if I can offer anything with this topic, I would encourage you, if you are not naturally an empathetic person, to just take a pause. Just take a beat, take a break, and consider other people, especially if you find yourself in conflict a lot. People who find themselves in conflict a lot typically lack empathy, because you're not looking at whatever this conflict is from the other person's perspective. And if you just take 1 second to look at it from the other person's perspective, you still may not agree, but then you can understand. And sometimes finding understanding resolves conflict and you're able to move past it. But if you feel the way you feel the way they feel, and you're not willing to even consider one another, then yes, you're going to stay in a space of being in conflict, because you're holding on to what you think and how you feel and what you see. And you really don't even care what the other person is saying or how they're feeling. Right, wrong, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. You don't have to agree with someone to be empathetic. You can still consider, well, you know what? That's how you feel. I agree to disagree. I understand how you have your feelings based on who you are in your life. And we can let it go from there. But, you know, we want to judge, and we want to be right. And we want to, so, you know, those things don't really live harmoniously, but, you know, to each its own. Moving right along. You guys ready for summer? I'm excited for summer. That's a random little tidbit, but it is a fact. I still have not gotten my Ancestry DNA results, but trust and believe they will be discussed once I do get them. So I haven't said anything about that because I haven't gotten them. I have been journaling, not every day, but I've been doing it a lot more than I was when I first brought it up on here. So, yay, excited about that. The last thing I want to talk about, this was also inspired by a conversation. I feel like I have spoken on prior episodes about how I feel about the protection of children. Let's preface by saying this. Yes, I am a parent. No, I am not an expert on parenting. What inspires me to even discuss child rearing and parenting is my own childhood and trauma, more so than my motherhood. So being a parent is not what makes me want to, this may sound odd, but hear me out. Being a parent is not what makes me want to discuss the protection of children. Being a child is what draws this out of me. When I say the protection of children, I'm more so mean emotional. This is what I'm talking about right now, emotional protection, and just understanding that our children see and that they hear and that we are responsible for their emotions, the safety of their emotions. As we are responsible for them physically, we are also keepers of their mentalities and their psyches. And it's a very sensitive thing, because I think a lot of us feel as though children just don't know better for whatever reason. Like they can't see through maybe some of the things that we feel like we hide, or that they aren't inept, or they are inept when it comes to picking up on stuff that we feel like is an adult issue. So it's above them, and it's beyond them. That's not the case. Even if intellectually they cannot process some of the things that maybe they see and they hear because of their lack of maturity, they can feel things. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful with what we expose them to. We have to be careful with what we say around them, because children learn what they live. I want you to hear that. They learn what they live, not what you tell them, not what they, you know, not what you try to, I guess, yield them toward, whether it's, you know, the nicer house or making sure that they, you know, have the materialistic things and that they go to the school and the, whatever it is, they are going to learn what they live every single day. If they see you treating people like trash in the grocery store, guess what they're going to do when they're adults? It doesn't matter if you curse somebody out in the parking lot and then tell them you should not curse people out. They're going to do what you do. You can tell them whatever you want to tell them. So just know that. I also am very, how can I say this? When it comes to children and their space, and I mean like their physical space, they're just small human beings. They have feelings, they have thoughts. Sometimes they're sleepy, hungry, just like us. And sometimes they don't want to be touched. And that's okay. Why do we force kids to hug adults? Why do we do that? Stop doing that. Please, if you do that, please stop doing it. Do not make your children, your nieces, your nephews, your godchildren touch adults. If they don't want to be touched, it is their body, their choice. Period. If you come into the presence of a small human, a child, and you, it's okay to ask them, can I shake your hand? Can I hug you? Give so-and-so a kiss. Oh, give so-and-so a hug. No. If they want to, that's great. If they don't, that is also okay. Because what you teach children is that they don't have boundaries and that they don't get to make boundaries for themselves. And that's dangerous. For a whole lot of reasons that I'm not going to get into, because I can go into a whole other hour of talking about this. Allow children to have boundaries, even as small children. I mean, like small children, 2, 3. They know if they want to hug somebody. They know if they want to sit on somebody's lap. Go over there and sit on so-and-so's and, oh, stop being mean. Give no. Mm-mm. Both of my children had really bad separation anxiety. I don't know what it was, but they did not want to leave me when they were small. And my oldest is a lot more quiet than my youngest, and she just did not want to. So we would come into the company of people, and she would wrap her little head around my leg and hide. And, you know, and I would tend to apologize for who she was. She's shy, she's reserved, she does not want to talk, and that is okay. If you as an adult take that personally from a 3-year-old, you got to go figure that shit out with yourself, because that's not this child's fault. So, and it's not just my children. Like, I am that way with all children. Like, I just feel like an immense need to just protect the emotional space of children. So... I don't know. I let that be what it is. I don't know if it helps somebody or if it offers anything to anybody, but it's the way that I feel. So I'm sharing it. Like, that just drives me crazy when I feel like kids are not allowed or not viewed as just smaller human beings. They still get to have choices. That is that. I'm going to wrap on that note. I don't have much more to say. I hope that you guys enjoy episode 13. Thank you so much for listening again. I appreciate each one of you. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram, tays.tidbits. Follow me on Instagram, _ I am Shantae, _. Look forward to hearing from you guys. If you want to reach out or chat, offer some feedback, look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening, for being who you are. I'm not going to do my little wrap-up poem today. I don't feel like it. Do no harm, but take no shit. That's really it for today. Until next time, you guys. Peace. Uh.
to you cowards, then it's gonna be quick. Alright, all your mans have been to jail before, suck my dick. And all the motherfuckers you run with, get done with, dumb quick. How the fuck you gonna poke the dog or some bum shit? Alright, they go to gun click, 911 shit, all over some dumb shit. Ain't that some shit? And niggas remind me of...